It's been thrilling to see all the changes in the industry and with our members.
You talk about all, any of the segments of the retail space that you could be involved in. Digital, I think, has been, from what I can tell, you know, on the communication side of things, a little bit crazy for you guys over these past six, seven. We might even be coming up on 8 months here pretty soon.
We always knew new digital worked and the importance of the website, but it's been so nice to see the members engage in their website more than they ever have before and see the importance of it and how it really helped through this time.
Welcome into the Independent Thinking Podcast. This is your host, Rob Stott. And we are kind of kicking off, I want to call it season two, because we don't really have defined seasons here, but fresh off of, personally, a 30-day, one-month-long paternity leave break here, getting back to work at Nationwide Marketing Group. And so it kind of feels like season two of the Independent Thinking Podcast after, you know, about 5 weeks of episodes off. And everything's, you know, thank you for asking. Everything's good at home, running on, you know, a caffeine IV in my arm and a couple hours of sleep here and there throughout the night. But we're doing well and, you know, just excited to get back to having these wonderful and excellent interviews with, you know, the Nationwide community. So an independent retail channel, you know, members of the independent retail channel. So and really no better way, I think, to kick off, you know, this fresh crop of podcasts than with easily one of the most intelligent and bright-minded individuals that Nationwide has to offer, and that's Miss Jennifer Danko, our VP of Technology and part of the Site on Time team. And, you know, you think about these past 8 months and what this pandemic has taught us, crazy that it's still going on, but, you know, if anything, it's taught us that the independent retailers are innovative thinkers. And, you know, one of the areas you can point to is what they've done from a digital perspective and with their digital strategies. And no one knows that any better than Jen and what she's done with the Site on Time team and helping members add, you know, update their web presences and change their digital strategies on the fly. So really, it was a great opportunity to sit down with her and kind of take a moment to see how things are going, you know, what she's noticed over these past months and how rapidly digital strategies have changed, where retailers are, you know, realizing wins and, you know, what to expect moving forward too, as we come out the other side of this thing and think about what digital is going to look like and, you know, the next couple months and years and where retailers need to focus. So just an awesome conversation, one that I was thrilled to get to do the first week back and, you know, excited now to be able to share it with you. So without further ado, here is Jen Danko of Site on Time here on the Independent Thinking Podcast. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and absolutely thrilled, as always, to have the chance, not even, you know, just forget about the podcast for a second. The last time we were able to just talk, Jen, Ms. Jen Danko and myself, it's been a while. Yeah. You know, this whole pandemic thing is really throwing a wrench in being able to just see and chat with people.
I know. I'm so happy you invited me.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, our VP of Technology with the Site on Time team. And you know, how are things, first of all?
They're actually amazing. I mean, obviously crazy during this time, but just it's been thrilling to see all the changes in the industry and with our members. And so, yeah, I said to someone recently who said it was a Friday, and I said, no, I think we've had one long Monday for 6 months. And it just we've been on for so long, but it's, you know, it's a great place to be for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about all, any of the sort of like segments of the retail space that you could be involved in. Digital, I think, has been, from what I can tell, you know, on the communication side of things, a little bit crazy for you guys over these past six, seven. We might even be coming up on 8 months here pretty soon.
I think
soon.
We are. Yeah. Whew,
it's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. So crazy. And just so much fun, too. I think it's been really exciting to see, you know, having been in this for so long that, you know, we always knew new digital worked and the importance of the website, but it's been so nice to see the members engage in their website more than they ever have before and see the importance of it and how it really helped through this time.
Yeah. And you mentioned the importance. It's kind of one of those things I feel like is always stressed, you know, whether it's at prime times or just, you know, in between shows, the importance of having a strong digital strategy, a strong website, that sort of thing. And it's always talked about, but there's never been sort of that example of like, hey, this is why you need it. And then all of a sudden March hit and here we are.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, that's what you were saying all this time. I get it now. Yeah.
It's one of those things, but
that's right.
No, it's been incredible. I know from the outside, you know, when I say outside, obviously we're all nationwide here, but outside of your team and kind of watching what you guys have done, you know, it's been incredible. What do you think just has been sort of some of the biggest things that you've seen in terms of changes in how members are operating and kind of what they're doing, you know, from a digital perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the biggest changes are just how involved and how engaged people have been with their website, which is amazing to see because the statistics tell us that, you know, the majority of consumers need real-time information now, right? It's not an option before, where a lot of times I think the retailers and our members got so busy that they would forget to update their website or tell us changes in the stores and things like that. But with the pandemic, it's become critical that customers know what's going on. And so it's been a lot of fun to be able to engage on a different level and say, okay, what can we do next? And how do we do that? And what changes do we need to make? So that's probably been one of the biggest changes for us internally, is just that engagement with the website and realizing how important it is that the information be up to date. And so customers know what they can expect.
Well, you know, to your point about information, it's kind of, you know, I feel like a lot of the stress has always been on, you know, making sure that pricing and that sort of information is up to date. But I think this kind of time, you know, what we've gone through, it shows that it's not all about pricing and shopping on the website. It's about, you know, your policies and store hours. Are you open? That sort of thing. So, I mean, it's stuff that you don't, I guess maybe it's on there and you kind of set it and forget it. But at this point, you know, during this time, it's been a little bit different in that regard.
You know, it really has. And it's funny that you bring that up about pricing, because I think pricing has probably been the least important aspect in terms of conversions during this pandemic. It's been more around inventory, right? Because we know there's so many shortages right now. So people just want to know, what can they get quickly? What do you have in stock? And it's a lot less about what's the price and more around what do you have, especially if it's a duress purchase. You know, I'm not going to wait 12 weeks for a refrigerator. Obviously, or in my case, a dishwasher. I refuse to do dishes, so they'll just pile up until I get that dishwasher.
If I could just have 11, like 10 or 11 lined up dishwashers and just load them and just put all my dishes in there, or absolutely, I just throw them out and buy new dishes. So sick of dishes.
I'm sure you are, for sure, in bottles right now.
Oh, it's unreal.
Absolutely. So yeah, just getting that information. And also it's been really important to understand consumer behavior and find ways to communicate with them. Like, I was just reading recently a statistic that 73% of consumers are looking for retailers with contactless purchasing, right? Wow. And so it's finding ways to update your website to say, how are you addressing these needs or these concerns? And in our particular space, while customers can purchase online or even in the store, maybe they're always going to almost have it delivered, right? About 90% of it's probably getting delivered versus coming to pick it up. And so what does that delivery process look like? How do your delivery people stay safe, keep themselves safe, keep our customers safe, things like that. And so it's just really trying to constantly find out how consumers are changing the behavior, and then how do we address that on the website? I think there's this misconception that it's such a small percentage of people that maybe it's not worth it, but it's a lot higher than we realize.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anecdotally, how prepared do you think, you know, as members are coming to you looking for these types of services and upgrades and you know, changing the way they do things, have they been prepared, or is it a lot of, you know, is it a lot of work on your guys' end to sort of get them up to speed on what needs to happen digitally?
You know, that's a great question. I think for Sidon Time specifically, because we're more custom solution, a lot of our members were prepared going into the pandemic. But they really had to turn on a dime too and change the overall strategy. I know that with RWS, we've had a lot of new signups, which is great. And so these retailers maybe weren't entirely prepared, but moved on quickly, which is great. So there was a solution for them to get there and be able to provide that information. But in terms of Sidon Time, it's really been about, you know, how do we shift what we're doing? For example, pre-pandemic, we were all about store visits. How do we get more customers into our member stores?
That changed.
Yeah, exactly. We're like,
wait a minute, stay away.
So totally changed. And so now we're really doing a, you know, in the middle of the pandemic when it was at its peak and some of the businesses were closed or at least limited in who they could let in the store. We really had to turn that to an e-commerce strategy, right? And how do we find more people that will purchase online? And now it's a little bit of a shift. So now a lot of our digital strategies have gone maybe 50-50 targeting people who will still come into the store versus those people who are more comfortable purchasing online.
Gotcha. I mean, not to say that it's final and efforts are like finished at this point, but do you think, I mean, has all of this work paid off for the members? I don't know if there's any specific data or anything like that, but I mean, from what you're hearing and seeing, is it paying off for them?
Oh my gosh, it is paying off. It's exceeded our expectations for sure. We've had retailers report 500-600% increases in e-commerce sales year over year. We just recently had one of our largest retailers tell us that their online store is now their highest producing store in terms of total sales. As a matter of fact, I think they said that was that their top two stores now.
Wow.
The website produces more sales than those. So it's amazing to see just the engagement with both, not just the members, but the customers. And you know, a year ago, who knew that people would consider high consideration purchase like this online? It's crazy.
We want to get to chat, and that's kind of where I want to transition to, because I know that's been one of the you know, most talked about and I think maybe most desired features to add to these digital strategies. Maybe that is the sort of the answer to this next question. Has there been sort of one digital, you know, upgrade or type of, you know, strategy that a retailer can implement that has been most successful for them to sort of drive that type of, you know, online conversion and success?
Absolutely. I think there's probably two that have been, one was obvious and that was chat, because we can connect with customers. And then the other one would be appointment settings. So the ability for customers. And now it's kind of shifted away a little bit because stores have reopened, but when some of them were closed or very limited in who they could have in their stores, the appointment setting was crucial for people to be able to be comfortable to know that they would be the only one in the store, or there'd be a limited number of people in the store. So that was really important. But chat across the board is something that any retailer can implement. And I think most people just don't realize that there's times where people can't pick up a phone call or it's just the way they prefer to communicate. I think the last statistic I read is 80% of consumers prefer chat over phone calls.
Wow.
Because I think they feel like it's a little bit, it's still personal, like they're still talking to someone in the other line, but maybe not quite as, they don't have to be quite as engaged as if they're on a phone call or, you know, they could have a new baby at home and, you know, quiet, I can type away and don't have to pick up a phone call. But the exciting thing about chat is it really, again, it goes back to what I'm always talking about, meet your customer where they're at, right? Wherever they want to talk to you, be willing to take that engagement and run with it. And for a lot of customers, it is chat. And the idea that they're talking live to a local retailer just makes it that much more important for them. But I think the most important part of chat that people don't realize is it's not just turning this on, right? There's a real strategy behind it.
Yep.
And understanding the type of consumer that would engage with that chat and things like that most people don't realize, you won't be able to read body language, right? You won't be able to, and we talk about this internally all the time when we meet over Teams or Skype or whatever it is you're using. Sometimes you can sense a tone, right? And people, and you know, we have a policy here. If you sense a tone, pick up the phone and call them, right? But in chat, so it's the same thing with chat with our consumers. You might sense a tone with people, but maybe that's just the way they communicate. Or, you know, we still have a few people that talk in all caps and don't realize that's yelling. And
I was going to say, so there's the same type of, you know, struggle you would see in email communications and the way you read things. And, you know, it's easy to misconstrue those sorts of things.
Absolutely. So really training your team to understand, how do you best communicate over this type of medium? And make sure that they're prepared to answer questions, but also other signals that they can pick up on that they would normally pick up on through body signals. But what do those look like in chat? So it's just things for people to think about in order to make it more successful and a better experience.
And the one thing you mentioned there that you know, really stood out and strikes me is that the type of consumer that, you know, understanding who would be more willing to utilize a chat function on a website, And you kind of think about, you know, millennials and Gen Z, and it's a texting society. People, I can't even tell you, you know, even years ago, how many studies there were about how millennials are scared to pick up the phone, or, you know, young people are scared to cold call or talk to someone on the phone, and they, you know, it's everyone's texting today. So, yeah. You know, you think about it, this could not even just during a pandemic payout or payoff for a retailer, but sort of moving forward with the way customers engage, prefer to engage with, take retail out of it, you know, absolutely, prefer to engage with one another.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that, you know, it's going to have legs, not just this year in 2020, maybe 2021, but for years to come.
Absolutely. Our retailers that had chat pre-pandemic were already successful. It was probably some of their most successful salespeople were on chat. But in the midst of this pandemic, it's just grown that much more. And I think people think that, you know, they're maybe a little bit concerned there's going to be a high pressure sales pitch or something if they call. So this way they can kind of gauge how that's going to go. And surprisingly, we get chat conversion reports back from our members anywhere between 70 and 90%,
wow,
you know, depending on who's managing it and the strategy.
And the thing there too, you know, worried about a sales pitch, typically I'd imagine it's the customers reaching out to you. So that it's not like you're, you know, going out on a sales call, trying to just pitch this to anyone. They're actively engaging with you. So it's already, there is interest there.
Yeah, that's such a great point too. And I mentioned that a lot, of that, you know, think about the person and the mindset of someone who would engage with chat. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm not visiting appliance or furniture websites over the weekend just to talk to people,
right,
on the other end of the line. Like, there's usually a reason why I'm starting that engagement,
yep,
right? So think about that and the quality of that lead that's coming in. And the other part of it too is, you know, we have some statistics around versus just having chat on your website versus, you know, showing a pop-up of chat after maybe three or five pages, and how that increases the overall chat engagements. And when you think about it, I think a lot of people think it's a little bit intrusive, but if a customer were to walk in your store, wouldn't you greet them? And so it's, yeah, the same thing with chat. So they visited a few pages. Isn't it time to say, hey, can I help you? What are you looking for specifically? They can always say no or close the window, but at least give them the opportunity. Maybe they missed chat. Maybe they don't realize what it is. I think a lot of people assume that they know what that little button is on the side, but some of them might just think it's a contact form and not realize it's live chat. So it's nice to remind them that you're there if they need you. But if they don't, just pop out.
Yeah. You know, funny you talk about that, because I find myself, you know, I think about how I sort of shop online nowadays. And if I'm on a website and I, you know, browsing for a little while, I end up at a certain point sort of looking for the chat function. You know, if I have questions and I want to get more info that maybe isn't necessarily on the product page or anything like that, I end up, you know, I will actively seek out that chat function. So if it's not front and center, if that button isn't down there, then you're potentially losing leads, you know, if it's not available or, you know, readily visible to the customer.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think it's really important to remind members of this, like, not everybody shops the same way. And I think there's always this assumption, well, if I get it, everybody gets it, but it's really not true. So it's important to understand consumer behavior, look to see what people are clicking on, why they click on them, and how long it takes to get there, so that we can better understand how do we engage them sooner in the process.
I know we've kind of hit on a couple of them, I think, already, but is there any sort of, you know, best practices as far as, you know, how a chat strategy works, how you set one up for your store, or anything like that you could detail?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's the great thing with chat is there's a lot of different ways that you can do it, but best practice strategies are, one, train your team, make sure they understand how to communicate with customers, incentivize your chat team. So this isn't going to be the receptionist, or somebody who would typically answer the phones. This is going to be a qualified salesperson, someone who understands product, can look in your point of sale or inventory control system and figure out which products you have. The top three questions we see in chat are, do you have it? How much is it? When can I get it? Those are the top three questions. What's really interesting is that aligns directly with all the data we see across the board in terms of conversions. I was actually just looking at this morning, because I review often the time lag between when a customer visits and when they purchase online. And I think it's interesting how all of this ties together, because online, our conversions, about between 70 and 75% of our online conversions happen in a day.
Wow.
And you would think that, like, there would be longer than that, right? Because it's a high consideration purchase. But
yeah,
if we think about our industry stats, the duress purchases in appliances are 70%. So this,
yep,
directly correlates to when people will buy product and online. And that directly turns into, or correlates to our chat, that, you know, people need an answer quick. So it's got to be that person who can say, yes, this is the right product for you. Here's what we have. And if they're asking first, do you have it? They're looking for a product quickly. That means you've got to be able to say, we don't, maybe, but we have this. It's got the same features, you know, price is equivalent, whatever it is. And but they need a quick response. If they get someone who says, I don't know, let me check, can I call you back? Or can I get back to you? You know, they're going to move on because this is going to be a quick purchase.
Right, right. Crazy. I mean, it's almost like the reason that someone reaches out, there's a million reasons someone could reach out, but the duress shopper, you know, this is that point of contact where, you know, so much shopping starts online these days. I think the number's 90%, something like that, probably higher at this point, but yeah. Especially during a pandemic when stores are closed, but you know, shopping starts online. So if someone, whether they're under duress to try to replace a product or not, you know, having this type of feature available to them just to get a quick answer, because that's where they are anyway. So that's it's right. Just making sure that you're there for them. So not to, you know, skip ahead a little bit, but chat's been, you know, a lot of people are adopting it. It's been a service that's, you know, really come to the fore during this pandemic. Is there, you know, is there a lot of development in this sort of area? Is there like a innovation in retail chat functionality, you know, that retailers can sort of look to coming down the pike here as, you know, they have these services on their site and kind of where they can go next?
Yeah, absolutely. The next level, which is available now too, and maybe retailers don't want to start with it, but adding video to that aspect to your chat strategy. And that what happens there is you start a conversation with a customer. They need to know if you have something, maybe you don't have exactly what they're looking for. And you can say, you know what, can we start a video chat? And it could just be a one-way video chat, meaning they can only see you. But then you can show them actually what's in the store or show them the specific feature. So they still get the feel that they're there. So maybe they can't touch it, but just being able to see it and see the features or the look of the product real time is really important to kind of connect that online customer to that in-store purchase without actually having to come into the store. So for sure, but again, it requires training to help the salesperson understand how to use this, when it's appropriate, how to make it as comfortable as possible for the consumer, and then just being able to read them. Would they be comfortable doing something like this? And that also works directly in correlation with appointment setting as well. So maybe the appointment is for a video visit, you know, to let them come into the store. More and more consumers are searching for virtual store visits or things like that where they can not have to come in, but still be able to see the product. So this is a great option. And what I love about this is that it's not going to go away post pandemic, right? I think people are going to for sure get back out there when they can and when they're comfortable. But in the same sense, this is a huge convenience for people post pandemic. So if I'm busy and I don't want to spend my Saturday in the store, great, I'm going to buy it online, or I'm just going to, you know, video chat with them and figure out if that's what I want and then decide from there.
Yeah. Two things come to mind. You know, you talk about this not going away. I know we saw some stats from Adobe during the height of the lockdown where, you know, pandemic shopping was exceeding 2019 Black Friday levels. So, I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, readily, you know, people were just willing and able to go ahead and start shopping online, mainly because they were, you know, were forced to in a sense. But, you know, for all those who thought that, you know, there's always going to be, that willingness to go to the store. Now people are showing that, hey, they don't mind the convenience factor of doing this online. So absolutely, there's that. But to your video, you know, the video, could that be as simple as, you know, thinking how you FaceTime with someone? Because I know that's been something that has obviously, you know, gained some traction during a pandemic when you can't see people face to face in person. You know, FaceTime video, Zoom video call we're doing right now, Microsoft Teams, things like that. Is it as simple as understanding how, you know, a setting like this works, or is there more to it for a retail appointment, video appointment?
No. It's really simple, and specifically related to chat. It's just a link that you send the customer in your chat, whatever chat you're working on. When they click on it, it opens it up and they can see you on the camera, and then they have to give permission for you to see them. But it's very, very simple. really anybody can do it. It's not too technical. There's not a lot of settings. Because again, we want to be able to attract all customers. And I think there's a misconception that, well, the younger shoppers are going to be the only ones to do this, but really our baby boomers are doing this too. I mean, they're familiar with video and even some of the, and even FaceTime, and that's how they're keeping in touch with grandkids and family. And, right. So that's
exactly what I was going to say. Doing this too. That's funny because, you know, you think again, you know, people can't, they got to socially distance and things like that right now. So FaceTime has come in handy in many ways and on many occasions. So the fact that it, you know, if a retailer knows how to FaceTime their family, maybe, you know, it should be as simple as that to FaceTime some customers. But, you know, beyond chat, beyond that sort of thing, what looking at websites in general and kind of digital strategies moving forward, maybe post pandemic and things like that, you know, is what can retailers expect or how should they, you know, plan for their future around digital strategies?
Yeah, I would say my number one recommendation is that this need for real-time data is not going to go away with the pandemic at all. I mean, we may see a change in online sales and maybe some of those shifting back into the store, but this need for customers to have real-time information will not go away post-pandemic. So continuing to build on that strategy, whether it's in implementing RDC inventory from our manufacturers and vendors, whether it's, you know, your own inventory, you know, putting an inventory feed onto the website, or maybe it's not necessarily real time, but just things that, you know, you keep in stock on a regular basis. Again, this is post pandemic when hopefully some of our
supply chains gets back up
a little bit. Store hours, how people can shop, what are the, you know, your current recommended products that you have in stock all the time? What does the shopping experience look like? The current promotion, anything that you can do to let the customer know that this is the most up-to-date information so that they can make an informed decision. Right now, that informed decision is, you know, do I purchase from you or not? Post-pandemic, it's going to be, should I choose you to come into the store to visit? Because I've got a really clear understanding of what you offer, your pricing, things like that. So I can't encourage people enough to really start thinking about the most up-to-date and real-time information you can provide a customer so that they can make an informed decision on who they're going to purchase from and what they're going to purchase.
And if they have any questions or concerns about, you know, where to possibly start, the Site on Time team and Ms. Jen Denko here is a great first resource to get in touch with. So
absolutely.
One of the more intelligent individuals I've ever come into contact with, and your knowledge around digital always, you know, it leaves me impressed, and the conversations are always a good time. So I, you know, greatly appreciate you taking the time and sharing some insights with us. And, you know, I know we'll be, you know, in touch more now, you know, as we get moving here into this, hopefully sooner rather than later, a post-pandemic world, and watching how digital strategies continue to evolve and members continue to take advantage of it. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's exciting that we have a solution for them, right? I think there's this idea that, well, I'll just go set up a Wix site or, you know, whatever it is, but there's so much involved in maintaining all this product information. And so I love that our retailers have this solution readily available to them.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I know they appreciate it, and, you know, look forward to hopefully seeing you in person here sooner, like I said, sooner rather than later. So
yes, I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the time.
Thank you. Talk soon.
All right. And a huge thanks again to Jen for taking time out of her incredibly, insanely busy schedule. I know that that team over there is doing a ton of work for members and, you know, making sure their web presences are on point and digital strategies are, you know, T's are crossed and I's are dotted and everything's running well for them. So I appreciate her spending some time with us and sharing some wonderful insights. Hopefully picked up a nugget or two there that you can apply to your own business. So, but as always, you know, appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.